One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Don't eat this nut milk. An absolutely sensational performance against Hearts leads us into potentially the biggest Glasgow derby of all time. We're here to discuss it on 20 Minute Tips. Melly, Stephen, there's no two ways about it. That Hearts game set us up perfectly for the Glarby this weekend. Stephen, is it I'm trying something new out.
Let's make that stick.
Yeah. People,
it's so, brilliant part of it, I reckon. The Glarby at Parkers.
I can really see it catching on. The Glarby, right? The Glarby this weekend. I mean, it's... There's no getting away from it. It's enormous.
It's bigger than that. It's large. Officially, it's an absolutely massive game. And yeah, you're right about the preparations for it in the intro there. A lot of nerves going into that game, maybe, but that manifested itself in an incredible atmosphere. The atmosphere was brilliant. It's one of the best non-derby, non-European games. Just obviously, it's not a standard run-of-the-mill domestic game because of the circumstances around it, because Hearts have beaten us twice this season, and because... there was a huge amount of focus on these two games. Get these two games won, and we're all but there. It's one hand in the trophy stuff. So it was a little bit of nerves going into it. But the preparation, in order to prepare best, I think, gives you the best possible confidence going into the derby, the Glarby the next week, is to go and put a show on against Hearts. And that's exactly what Celtic did.
Yeah, all Celtic had to do was win, but to get the performance to go alongside it, up there with, if not the best performance of the season. As Stephen said, atmosphere was sensational and just the perfect tonic for the week ahead, and it set Celtic up really nicely. Excited about the derby, that nervousness that kicks in, but Celtic done their job tremendously on Saturday.
I mean, we are going to talk a little bit about the Hearts game, but obviously the main topic of conversation on everyone's lips. Now, as soon as the final whistle goes in those games, it's full focus on the Glasgow derby coming
up. Well, hence them playing Zombie Nation at the end of the game. So as everyone is filtering out, that's where they played at the end.
But I think I was on the podcast last week and I was sort of saying I wanted the psychological warfare to commence, and that's what I wanted. Now, I didn't want us to eke past teams anymore. I wanted us to blow teams away.
Yeah.
And Melly, Celtic looked like a team that were really out for revenge against Hearts, and they got it.
Yeah, the Dundee game, Celtic got the victory, but the performance wasn't great. The Hearts game, Hearts were decent for the first 15-20 minutes, but Celtic were in 2-0 lead by the end of that, and then just completely blew them away by the end of it. The performance was great. Even simple things like getting game time for Dyes and Maeda as well, and the Celtic's a lot of best performers were the guys that you think these are the guys for the big games and the guys that you expect to turn up and win the game for Celtic, or if Celtic are going to win, these are the guys we'll need to turn up. So like, it couldn't have went any better. I think that clean sheet as well helps us. So blowing Hearts away, the third best team, it's as if Hearts were playing Rangers, the performance they put on.
I'm glad you said that about Hearts playing well, because it was a big achievement for Celtic, and it's right to give Hearts credit for the way they at least approached the game. And as I've already said, they've beaten Celtic twice this season. So this is a team that have been playing well. They have the most potent striker in the league this season, the player of the year as well, of course. A guy who's given... I think Shankland had scored in about three or four consecutive games against Celtic. So it was a big challenge going in, and... you're right as well to point out that Hearts started the game. If it wasn't for the fact they'd conceded after about 4 minutes, you could objectively look at that and think Hearts started maybe the better of the two teams. Yeah. They had a couple of decent chances. But quite simply, over the course of 90 minutes, they could not live with what Celtic managed to put together. It was one of the, probably the best most complete 90-minute performances Celtic have put together all season, because there have been brilliant performances in there. You look back to the Dundee game where blew them away in the first half. It was 6-0 at half time, but then it kind of tapered off a wee bit in the second half, as it's naturally going to happen. It's impossible to keep that up for 90 minutes. You're not going to score 6 in the first half and then duplicate that in the second half and come away 12-0 winners. That's very rarely going to happen. In fact, do we not draw the second half? Absolutely.
Celtic rarely win both halves.
Yeah, well, that's very true. But over the course of the 90 minutes, I thought it was probably the most complete performance we've put. I also add in there that there were some challenges in there. There was some adversity to overcome. They had big chances. Joe Hart made at least probably two brilliant saves.
Brilliant.
So I include that in the idea that it was a very complete performance from Celtic, and it couldn't have set us up better for the derby in the coming week. I think everyone played their part in terms of the team, in terms of the subs that came on. The crowd certainly played their part, because there was none of this stuff about how it's a toxic atmosphere and, you know, we don't get behind the players and we're entitled and all that. That was the nerves going into it, and the acceptance of the precarious nature of the title race all manifested itself in an absolutely raucous crowd in there.
Brendan was saying that this is the time when Celtic come alive. And when you're watching some of those performances, you're like, okay, I get it. I see what you mean. Like Cal McGregor, Melly, was like a man possessed. And Steve was talking about Joe Hart, that save. Was it the first half up until he's, who got the shot off?
Yeah.
And
he's Devlin,
That palmed it away. I was like, that's peak Joe Hart. Get him on the flight to the Euros. See, that man deserves a call up. I cannot skip by the ludicrous nature of these PFA awards. Look, I understand you're voted by your fellow professionals and all that, but it just, I kind of get the words out. Lauren Shankland is never the best player in this league, and I know he scored the most goals, but he's just, in terms of quality, I don't really see where they're coming from with that one, if I'm perfectly honest. I might humbly disagree.
I've not got a problem. I can see the logic in the winners of it. It's the nominations that are the shortlists that I had a major beef with. Where it was the four players were Shankland, O'Reilly, Tavernier and Butland were the last four. Come on, let's not be silly about this. I've not really got that much of a problem with Shankland winning it, because the number of goals he scored is difficult to ignore. And I suppose if I was being sort of balanced about it, looking at it from their perspective, the players, they might just see that O'Reilly dipped off a little bit around January. So is Shankland as well.
I actually think they probably don't even think about it that much. I think they probably don't even think about it that much.
Nah, it's one of those ones, isn't it? Either or, I think it was a straight shootout between Shankland and O'Reilly. Shankland's bagged the goals and he has scored big goals this season for them, but just an annoying wee guy.
This is not 20 minute Shanks, all right? Absolutely pathetic.
A lot of people saying we are 20 minutes shy.
Hey, I wish I'd never brought it up. Well, I'll defend you, Matt O'Reilly, okay? So, Melly, on you go.
No, Matt O'Reilly, if it was a straight shootout and it was after that game, there was only one winner. Matt O'Reilly was sensational, bagged a penalty, and Warren Shankland had a howler and should have been sent off, probably. A couple of chances to be booked after his early booking as well. And look, I know we'll come on to VAR, but we sit here every week saying just bin VAR, and then something like that happens and you just think, we cannot bin VAR, because that referee would have missed the most blatant of handballs ever.
I thought it was, well, that was the thing, he should have got booked for that second handball. Shankland probably should have walked after that handball, because he just stuck his hand up and handled it. But yeah, you're saying we need to bin VAR. I think what's happened now is, and I've long suspected this, in Ange Postecoglou said that a couple of weeks ago, these games are now primarily refereed from the VAR room, and that's all that happens there. He knows, oh, did I see a handball? What I'm going to do is not blow for it and hope that the VAR picks it up. And that's exactly what happened, and it was a complete stonewall penalty.
You can tell by the reactions in the crowd. Don't get me wrong. Of course, players claim for basically everything. There was a moment late on where Iwata claimed for a throw-in right in front of us, and I thought, you're absolutely at it. I admire it. I respect it, Iwata, but you're absolutely at it. So players claim for everything, but reacting to that extent, everyone was like screaming at the ref, running about with their hands out. The whole place, that whole area of the stand erupted looking for that handball. Very difficult to miss.
Listen, Shankland walked away going, oh, 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 oh. He was like,
so, he didn't know what to do after
literally
it.
Literally caught red handed.
It was the most sheepish I've ever seen a player looking after he'd committed something and get, well, at least temporarily, completely get away with it.
It was unbelievable. Let's say, Melly, focus back on Celtic here. I was amazed, really was amazed with Callum McGregor's performance, because the last couple of weeks when he's been in and out of these games and we were sort of doubting the logic of what Brendan was doing a couple of weeks ago, I'd sort of said, is this really the way you want to introduce Callum McGregor? Because he looks as far back as maybe the Rangers game, he's just not looked on it. Brendan Rodgers said midweek, we've changed the way we've been training Callum this week. What we were doing before was, I don't know, more focused on X, which has meant he was more tired during the games, but now we're doing Y and we expect him to look a lot better in the games. And I was like, right, okay, is this broge patter, or is this actual the truth you're talking here? And Callum McGregor was just absolutely outstanding. That's the performance that you want to see from Callum McGregor.
Oh, that's the performance we need. It reminded me of that first game at Ibrox earlier in the season where he just seemed to be everywhere. I remember Michael Beale gave him the freedom of Ibrox.
I forgot all about that game.
Yeah, seems like a long time ago now, but McGregor was outstanding, and it's why we sit here sometimes going, look, maybe you drop McGregor, then he drops something like that, and you go, ah, that's...
Undroppable.
Me sharp, is that? I think he's... I would always say, look, you play him until he gets back into it, and with a performance like that, he was absolutely tremendous. Summed up by that, when we talk about the game, about the performance, and why Stephen says it was a sort of perfect all-round thing, because it was against a difficult opponent. We did have to do some saving, some defending. That's why the performance seemed even better. But it was summed up by Callum McGregor running back from his own box, basically back, gets a touch away from Vargas, and then gets the slide tackle in and takes it away. And when you talk about the crowd going mental for goals and fouls and all that, the crowd for that and Dyson Maeda coming on played a massive part in the atmosphere in the day. And Callum McGregor, that's when he's at his best. We know he can dictate games. We know he can pass the ball and be that guy in there. But see, when he's winning those second balls and just nipping in and taking tackles off, nobody can live with him in this league. He's the best player in it when he's on form like that. And it's just a perfect opportunity for him going into this next week, because if he hadn't had a great game, you'd still have the question marks. Do we maybe bring in a Wata? Is he done this season? No chance.
Not after that. You simply can't not play Callum McGregor.
He's been out for the season several times this season.
I've noticed that. There's so many players though after this game, Stephen, that you think, right, he's got to play against Rangers. He's got to play. Callum McGregor obviously is one. Matt O'Reilly, obviously, that ball in for Kyogo's second goal was just sublime, man. It was peak Beckham. It was absolutely brilliant, just whipping that ball in there.
I wanted a diving header. If I'm being greedy, I wanted a Van Persie, Henrik Larsson diving header just on the end of that long cross into the top corner.
Did Matt O'Reilly play with his left foot though?
Yes, he did.
So it wasn't peak Beckham. Hit me. Who else?
Well, that example, the Van Persie one, was Daley Blind, who pinged it forward from left back headed over the onrushing keeper. As I say, being greedy, I would have preferred something like that. But he took it nicely into the bottom corner. But what a ball it was. And Callum McGregor, to go back to that ever so slightly before we move on completely, I was worried about it. I really was. I should learn not to doubt these things. But I think it's maybe through past experience with players who have been struggling with injury, maybe getting to a certain age. I mean, Callum McGregor's not old by any means, but he's over 30 now. And what we've seen from players in the past, we're told how important these players are, how they must play. Celtic have got a knack over the years of just playing, running players into the ground. And I thought, are we doing this to Callum McGregor as well? Because he is the most important guy in there. So recently with Cameron Carter-Vickers last season, where he played right up to the point where he needed an operation. Mm-hmm. And then he's had these troubles ever since. So I was worried about it. And I thought, he looks so far off himself that I am genuinely concerned about his potential liability in these games, because he looked as if he was not just short of his own sharpness and fitness, but miles away from it.
And it's the wider
miles.
Ramifications, isn't it? If you've got a Callum McGregor who is not fit and firing and who is not playing at the best of his ability, as we've seen, it just affects the whole team. He's the catalyst for this whole side. So he's more than the sum of his part.
Yeah, of course. And it's that particular position as well, not just the role he has, the role and position, much the same, but slightly different. He is the captain and most important player, of course, depending on how you look at it. But that position as well, that kind of holds the midfield together, if he is in there and he is playing at that kind of 40% level we've seen in a few games, it's very, very dangerous. Celtic have been open through the midfield most of the season. And if he's in there and he's not got the agility to get around because he's carrying Achilles injuries, it was a major concern. So it was really, really encouraging to see not only he's gradually making his way back, he just sprung back to life in that game in a big way. That run... where you've already described it, where he won the ball back. Again, place erupted. Mm. I don't think I've, because you get carried away in the atmosphere of it, you're reacting with the crowd when you're sitting there, of course, and that's kind of how it works with an atmosphere. But I can't remember a game I've been at where I reacted so strongly to things that were nothing to do with goals whatsoever. So it was like tackles like that. There was a moment towards the end where Iwata just sort of shepherded it out for a corner and just relieved the pressure. Mm. And then Joe Hart's all of a sudden just rolling the ball out, taking one of his quick goal kicks. I was on my feet again. I was like, yes, you man. So there was so many moments like that. It was just a really thoroughly enjoyable game. But to see Callum McGregor back in that kind of condition ahead of what is an enormous game was brilliant.
I think with McGregor as well, he probably doesn't, but he might feel he owes his one after the Ibrox game last time. This will be what he's building towards, and it's what Celtic build towards, and it's what Brendan Rodgers talks about. This is when we come alive, and you want Callum McGregor coming into a Celtic Rangers game feeling like he's got a point to prove because of the coming on in the last game at Ibrox and having a hand in it at Rangers 2 goals. So I think him coming into this game off the back of that game with this idea in his head that he maybe needs, he owes the fans something, or he owes Rangers something, it's going to be spicy, man.
Is there any causes for concern? Because as I said, after these games you're watching it, think, right, he's definitely got to play. He's got to play. Tick, 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 as you go through the team. I think the real question is, Melly, maybe on the wing position, do you start Maeda? Do you start Forrest? I think, I don't want to be too much of a downer because, you know, there's a big game on the horizon and you want to be positive going into it. But I think the only player that gave me any real cause for concern in the Hearts game was Kuhn. I thought he was pretty anonymous at times, very lightweight, didn't look as if he was winning many of his second balls.
Yeah.
I just, running into the Rangers game, look, I know people are thinking that this is like going to be party time for Celtic, and it might very well be. I think there's, based on the last game, I don't think there's an awful lot between the sides.
No.
And I think that the status and the stature of the tie, we just cannot afford any potential passengers. So I'm scanning for weaknesses, starting everywhere I can, and I've sort of, my focus has been drawn to Nicholas Kuhn.
Yeah, well, if you look at the games between us this season, there's only been a goal in it or it's been a draw. So there is nothing between the teams. There's only one victory in there in the league table. So I don't think Celtic are going to run away with it. I don't think it's going to be one of those games. I'd love it to be. I think it's going to be tight. And look, it probably will be decided by fine margins again. And look, you're right. The only thing from the weekend was I thought James Forrest done okay, but my only one was Kuhn. I think he did well going back the way. I don't think Hearts had. I don't think Hearts had anything going up against Celtic, but he just didn't impose himself on the game enough for me. He was just a bit, I suppose that can happen. You don't get every player playing well, but with everybody going into
it's
this game
with Kuhn, though, isn't it really? He's sort of drifting
one
in
off,
and out.
One on, one off sort of thing, and with the Maeda spectre hanging over, you feel like if Dyson Maeda's fit enough, you play him up against Tavernier and sort of try and push Tavernier back and give him that fear. So it's that maybe right hand side for me, is it? It's a shootout between Kuhn and Forrest. Do we move Forrest over that side after he's been playing well on the left hand side, or do we stick with Kuhn? I think possibly, despite what I've said for the past 10 seasons, I'd probably play Forrest and Maeda on either side. We couldn't able to come on, but I think if it was Kuhn over Forrest, I wouldn't be too scared about it. But I think Forrest and Maeda, are we going back to the Maeda Abada thing? Are they creative? But Kuhn hasn't been that creative recently. So I think what we need is to keep Celtic in the game first, keep them working hard. And I think Forrest and Maeda's got that good defensive shape
as well. It's just about the only team selection decision Brendan's got to make, isn't it really?
Probably, yeah. I think it's the only major one, really. You could tweak things here and there, but I don't really see any of that happening. I think those are the three kind of main candidates for the wing positions. You could throw a curveball in there with Palma. I don't see it for a single second.
Even conversations about Ida have died down, especially after that game, with the way Kyogo took his both goals. You know, it's just that conversation's not really...
Y'all must have forgot. Yeah.
He was just so alive in the game.
Plus with Kyogo's track record against Rangers as well, especially in the previous home game, he was absolutely incredible. That goal from his left foot. I think there's no conversation really to be had there, because Ida came on against Hearts and performed a role fairly well as well. Got involved, he kept Celtic up the park, really fought really hard in there. He actually sprung a couple of attacks by playing Johnston through down the right side. So I was impressed with him. He won't want to be on the bench, but I think he'll be ready to contribute off it, like a lot of these players will be, and a lot of these players have been. in recent weeks at the right time of the season. So I think it really is just about the wings. Back four completely picks itself. Midfield, similar. I don't see anything happening different with midfield. I think there's no cause to be. After that performance, I would have been worried about it with McGregor, but after that performance against Hearts, no such worries at all. I think it's easily Hatate and O'Reilly. The wing positions, I've had a weird feeling all season. I don't know why. I think it's probably brought on by all that kind of contention back then with Michael Beale having turned down Lewis Palmer. I've always kind of thought he's got a part. He's got a role to play somewhere. He's going to pop up somewhere, but he's not going to start. I wouldn't like to even imply that. I don't think he will start. I would love to see him come off the bench and score for a corner or something.
Yeah, my hope.
Imagine how many celebrations he'd do.
Yes, I know. My hope for that has kind of faded a little bit, to be honest with you, just as he's more faded out of the picture. But it was like sort of written in the stars that he might do something against Rangers.
Another one who was all right when he came on against Hearts as well. He popped up in a fairly unfamiliar position on the right, and he was playing some beautiful raked balls across to Dyson for him to take on his fullback. So he's a guy who could contribute if called upon when the time comes. The last 20 minutes, if we're looking for something a bit different.
See, hanging about Palmer, just needs to grow up. Don't he? Like, you just want to grow up. Like, wrap the selfies, just grow up.
Yeah.
It's a great insult that nobody can see. If you're having an argument or something, you just tell me, grow up. There's no come. I can grow up.
And of course, nominated for Young Player of the Year, despite being 24 years old as well. So yeah, he's growing a little bit too fast for that award, in my opinion. But he's never, ever going to start, neither is Yang. But it just shows you do have options in there for one of the first times this season. We're actually looking very strong in terms of personnel. There's no one really missing to any great degree, I don't think, apart from James McCarthy, who sadly won't make it in time for the game. I think we've basically got a full complement to choose from.
Listen, we wrote off James Forrest. So that I wouldn't be right.
Cometh the other.
Yeah. Under Brendan, I wouldn't be writing that. Absolutely anybody off. James McCarthy playing slide rule balls for the last time against Killy.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Listen, Millie, the Glarby is upon us. And there's so many varying things going on. Like, see this thing about how Rangers are imploding right now. For me, that's a bit of a psyop. The videos of Jack Butland and who was the other one?
Barisic.
I'm not buying into that so much. Yeah. What I'm buying into, though, is Philip Clement. That man's rattled.
Yeah,
he's rattled. Brendan Rodgers said something midweek about Well, he says the clip was, and next week we'll have some fun, mm-hmm. right? But what I think the full comment was with Brendan Rodgers, what he was getting at was, in his own kind of way, he was saying, he was like, you train hard, you work hard, you do the work midweek, the players, you know, are going to rest up. All this stuff before the game allows you to have fun on the day. And that, to me, is a perfectly normal statement that you hear all the time in football. And Philip Clement, well, he started bubbling about it. And he said, it's not very respectful. And, you know, you this is not the way that you should speak about other teams. And I thought, that's a man that's rattled.
Yeah, yes, rattled. And it was such a nothing comment. It's a very common thing, not only in football, but across sport, really, across the board. Mm. People often talk about how the hard work is done in training. We've done all the preparation and that's all the hard stuff out the way. Really, it's about putting that into practice. And the way he expressed that was to have some fun with it, right? I mean, I don't know why we have to do this dance. We have to put on this pretense that football isn't supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be dignified and battle and war and all that stuff. You're not allowed to have fun.
The woke mind virus has set in to Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah, I know Brendan Rodgers can get a bit wide from time to time, and I wouldn't put it past him to be rolling a wee fun grenade in here this time. So, but to me, it was such a nothing comment to get all excited about.
So this is what I'm more interested in, right? Because there's a couple of ways Brendan may play this based on Brendan's previous behaviour. So he may completely write it off as if it's nothing, right? Just go, I always say this, you know what I mean? Like, or nothing. Or I think he might use that word. If we win, I could see him using that word fun again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can really see that. I think if Celtic win this game, Melly, I think the temptation for Brendan to use that word fun would be too great.
Are you saying girls just want to have fun should be blaring out once the final score comes in and Celtic win?
Objectively not. But I'm not going to make any predictions about the game.
I think, like Stephen, it was...
Welcome to the House of Fun. It's probably...
That's a better one. I think, like Stephen said, it's just not an off-the-cuff comment, but ultimately, as footballers, as managers in that high level of football, you do the hard work, so when you go out, you enjoy it. And I think that's what he was talking about. We'll have some fun. The fun for these players is the competing, is the trying to win the thing. Same as Brendan Rodgers as a manager. That's where they get it. Us as fans, we're in the crowd. We can't do anything about it. We're watching at home. So it's not really fun unless you get the result. Whereas footballers, these guys, they're all, or they should be anyway, they're born for this. This is what they want. They want to be competing at this level, going into these games all the time. So I think he's like, this is where Celtic come alive. This is where we have fun. Comments like that. And Clement's just taken it and sort of ran with it. And see, to be honest, I love it, because a couple of months ago, I was like, it seems like they've gotten a decent guy, a decent hire for them. I don't know if there's going to be much to get on board with him, because we're... Beale straight away could go, oh, this guy, man. But Clement is just slowly but surely like, now I can really get at him. Now I can really get my teeth into something. And I think Brendan Rodgers is the same. Like, bring it on. We enjoy this time. And he's like, oh, disrespectful. Like, it's not.
Telling on yourself a bit as well, isn't it? I mean, for anyone to express that they want to have fun at their work in a derby, in a big game, for you to extrapolate from that they want to, they think you're going to take the piss out of you, is you showing weakness straight away. Like, that guy says he's going to enjoy this game, that means we're not going to enjoy it. I mean, come on. Again, grow up. Grow up. Toughen up a bit. He's supposed to be this big, no-nonsense, hard man, big, fearsome manager.
What's he wearing skinny jeans for? I saw that photo for the Youth Cup final, waddles into the... Look like Big Bird with no hair and his skinny jeans and pointy shoes. Absolutely terrible.
He's absolutely cracking up. Cracking up like the egg he is.
But a lot of the stuff that Brendan's been doing over the past couple of weeks, and we've spoken about this on the podcast, is it's all psychological, because he knows
Kevin Keegan?
he is Apollo 13 in us in this league. You know, like, they're talking about how he's like... I don't know how the best analogy to describe how Brendan's piloting this. He's no piloting a plane, he's piloting a space shuttle. Like, he doesn't really have that much control over what he can do. But we tweaks here and there probably will ensure some sort of successful landing for Celtic. And he can't really train the better players to be any better. But he's like, fuck, right, we'll get James Forrest in. Right, I need to make sure we write our own story. I need to keep the mood up here. And then he's probably said to himself, I can imagine he said to himself at some point, right, once there's five games to go, that's when I'm going to start prepping the players for, you've been through this, you're used to this, yep. keep the pressure off, now we have a bit of fun. And that's the difference between the two managers. Brendan Rodgers looks like a guy who's an experienced coach who knows, who's got a game plan for not just the sort of physicality of the game, the tactical side of the game, but the mental side of this title race. Brendan's got a game plan for that. You can see the way he's spoken about things. You guys have got a narrative. We are going to write our own story. Celtic live for this. This is when we come alive.
See you in May.
Well, that was back then. See you in May. I don't know how much thought he gave to that comment right now.
So the flying analogy, is it less Apollo 13, more Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade, where someone asks him, can you fly this thing? He says, fly, yes. Land, no.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So now
he doesn't know how he's going to land it, but he can keep it afloat. Yeah.
And he's trying his best with all these things, and that's a manager with a plan, a manager that's been through it, whereas Philip Clement is like, he fucking said what? Like, and I do hope that there is an element of that seeping in. I hope Brendan does get under his skin a wee bit, because if Clement starts to make changes, like we've seen in the last Glasgow derby, if he starts to make changes to accommodate Celtic, if he starts to doubt himself, if he starts to second guess himself, if the players start to second guess himself, all these wee advantages are exactly what we need. And I think, I brushed up on this earlier on, but there's an element of the Celtic fans out there who think, oh, it's party time. Like, guys, I'm fouls with, like, oh, it'll be another 3-4-0, nae bother. I'm like, there's a lot at stake. There is a lot at stake at this game. We don't have to win it. We don't have to win it, but...
Oh.
I don't know if I could take a helicopter changing direction or whatever we faced with in the last day. But, so you want to win it, Melly, but it is... When were the stakes this high in a Glasgow derby?
We did have the one in Ange's first season, the sort of one going to... When we went to Ibrox, there was 3 points in it. Celtic won with Cameron Carter-Vickers and then it meant we were 6 points ahead, effectively winning it, where if Rangers had won it, it would have been back to even Stevens. So I think... Look, we always say it every season when they come round, it is the biggest one, and it is because it's the next one. But this one, look, if we win it, the title's all but sealed. If they win it, it's back on. So it's going to be close, I think. It's going to be tight. if everything should be in Celtic's favour, but we're going into it in the best form we've been in a while. The performance was good at the weekend. We're getting players back. We've got the full house behind us. So Celtic have got everything
Rangers
set up.
Rangers are missing key players as well.
Yeah, everything's set up for Celtic. So it's about Celtic going out and doing the job. But I think because it has been so tight this season and the teams are so close, that sometimes it can be just a mistake or somebody get in and that's what costs you. Celtic probably thought they had that game won at some points at Ibrox, and then all it takes is one strike out of nowhere and Rangers are back in it. So I think it's going to be tight. Everybody needs to be on form, and I think any advantage you can get right now, you have to use. And I think Brendan Rodgers is just doing that. He knows these games. He knows how to play it. And if the roles were reversed and Celtic manager was coming out and going on about what the Rangers manager said, I'm like, can we just do a topping on the pitch? Yeah. We've heard all this before. We all know that the form book goes out the window, but a lot of the time it doesn't. But it's just Celtic have always just, over the last few seasons, we do our talking on the pitch, and then if you think back to the Giacomakis saying, we've got the better squad, and they're all cracking up, stick that up on the changing room and all that. Side King Charles made absolutely no difference, did it? Celtic still beat them and won the league.
Why did they change your picture?
When she died, unfortunately. So
covered, you absolute shite bag.
Another one taken too soon. Just 96.
Absolute coward. First you're defending Shankland, now you're saying unbelievable. You've not got the stomach for this. The nerves are getting to you.
They're not getting to me yet.
You're tough enough.
I am
tough enough.
Listen, by the way, patreon.com/20minutetimes. We have some excellent Glasgow Derby content coming up, some nice videos, some great podcasts, some fantastic writing. You can support us and follow all at patreon.com/20minutetimes. Stephen, the man who's going to be feeling a lot of pressure at the centre of this was Willie Collum.
Announced, isn't it?
Look, that's a ridiculous appointment for me. For a number of reasons. One, the man is inept. So there's that. The guy's that. Secondly, he hasn't refereed a Rangers League game, just pure coincidence, by the way, since they requested that he referee no more Rangers League games.
Yes.
So, there's already enough, being serious for a moment, there's already enough pressure around that game as it is, right? Effectively, a Glasgow Derby title decider. You're putting a man in charge who has caused chaos in these games before.
Yeah.
Absolute chaos. And he's at the centre of a storm regarding why he's not refereed at Rangers game. I'm not claiming conspiracy, but what I'm saying is all three of these things make up a very, very pressure-filled afternoon for Willie Collum, and I don't really understand why they felt the need. Even as a Celtic, I say this honestly, even if that's a FU to Rangers, there you go. You didn't want him manage, you didn't want him refereeing any more games, have him there. Even if that's what that's meant as, I don't want any part of that.
No.
I don't want that taking part. And also there is an element of, and this is a wee bit conspiratorial, but there is also an element of the psychology of, well, Willie Collum, if he's not refereeing Rangers games, there's only so many Celtic games he can get. So he's not getting 50% of the big games. Are we out and prove you can referee Rangers games again?
Yeah.
There's an element of that, that's the psychology of, well, if I'm making an arse of this game against Rangers, I'm never getting another Rangers game. Ergo, I'm never getting 50% of the big games in the league, and I'll be refereeing Kilmarnock v St Mirren for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So, and nobody wants to be doing that.
No, they absolutely do not.
I think there's a load of things that are factoring into this appointment, the referee, that I just think is bizarre. I think there's unneeded drama and speculation, and they could have just went out and got some, I don't know.
Yeah, one of the other ones.
One of the other. It's Hobson's choice, isn't it?
Also, it doesn't necessarily follow that he has been away from Rangers games this whole time, so therefore he's getting back in as a get it up you to Rangers, and therefore it will benefit Celtic because that's what he does. Mm. I know Rangers fans don't want to hear this, and I know you're watching, but I know they don't want to hear this, but he's been brutal for us as well. He's been brutal for Celtic. It's not just the fact that he's this so-called, you know, Father Collum and all that, going to chat. He's not refereed a single Rangers game because he's too busy at chapel on the Sunday games and all that, right? So it doesn't necessarily follow that you put him back in here and he's going to benefit Celtic. If anything, to me, and this might be me leaning too far in the other direction and being conspiratorially minded, but to me, human nature would dictate to me that, I keep saying to me, and to me, human nature would probably suggest that he might be inclined to go the other way. There's been so much pressure on me and I don't get these games anymore because of how supposedly bad I've been to Rangers.
You need to
even subconsciously. I'm not saying he's going to be thinking about this, but you never know. If that 1% in the other direction is thinking, if I make a mess of this, as you say, if I stop getting Celtic and Rangers games altogether, I better be lenient to the Rangers than this
occasion. Even you got to acknowledge, Melly, that he was the centre of a pretty serious social media / Rangers storm. Rangers, the club, were leaking to a friendly blog so that they could disseminate that information throughout the fans, that they didn't want Willie Collum doing their games anymore. So this isn't like sort of, by the by, it's no big thing. This all had been discussed in the SFA Towers, Willie Collum be well aware of it. And whether you think there's a conspiracy or not, and I don't necessarily think there is, I just think that for a high-pressure game, it's needless drama, needless gossip, a needless sideshow, when all you want to do is just put in a normal referee. But as Stephen pointed it, I mean, there's no normal reference because you get David Dickinson. There are a few that are just, but I think
Ron's involved, isn't he? Ron Dobertson, he's fourth, isn't it?
Ron Dobertson is the fourth official. But I just think, as I've said a million times, I just think there's a referee, a less contentious appointment that definitely could have been given this game, and it seems needless for the SFA.
Yeah, it's just like the last game where it was, of course it's John Beaton, of course it is after what happened with Celtic, and we sort of looked at that as an FU to Celtic. But with this one, like, could it have not been either of those two, and we'd have complaints because they're all pretty poor, very poor, and like you said at the start, he is inept. We had recorded this last night as usual, you could have just put that in and we could have just said, oh, who are you talking about? Which one are you talking about? So it's going to be a huge game, and it shouldn't be about the referee, should it? But of course it's going to be, and it's the VAR again.
Who is the VAR?
Crazy nature of it.
The ghost of Ian Paisley.
Is it about Douglas McLean? Ross?
Douglas Ross.
Back for VAR. Special guest referee.
Red.
Don't you start that, don't you?
So, honestly, I don't know who would have been given it that we'd have sat here and gone, do you know what? That's fine because we've had Beaton already and Willie Collum here, but there is that psychological thing. And he's not refereed Rangers in the league since that, the big fallout from that, has he? He's only had them in the cup against Scott Brown's AL United, I believe. So, Well, it's going to be difficult.
As they're known, to give them their full title. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's going to be difficult no matter what. Just didn't really need this sideshow, but look, Rangers will be looking at it from the point of view, oh, this is just to get it up as he's given Celtic everything.
That's what I mean. There's so much chat about it that it almost like you've needlessly created this sideshow. Let's talk a wee bit about the opponent, Stephen, I think.
Yeah.
I've said a couple of times, after the season's finished, we all need to have a big old chat as a Celtic about, you know, how you want to be world class at everything you want to do, and how you only want to do Champions League level things, and how you've had a decade of dominance, and how you've won the treble last year directly into the Champions League, the year before that directly into the Champions League, and with all these riches that we've managed to gather up for the Champions League, what it's bought us is a 3-point differential between Rangers and ourselves going into the last two games. So all this dominance and the Brendan Rodgers wages and all the signings, what that has bought us is this wafer thin points differential between ourselves and Rangers. And so Rangers, whether we like it or not, need to be taken seriously into this tie. As Melly said, there's been a goal in it for the last couple of games. There's been one win, but they are without key players. They're not without Sima, Matondo, Goldson. I think Balogun went off injured in the last game.
He did, yeah.
Ryan Jack.
Longer term stuff like Jack and Danilo and all that. Yeah.
Barisic is fit, so.
Yeah. Barisic is fit, good stuff.
Yeah, you're right. We do need to have a big old chat, a big old sit down with Celtic at the end of the season. Not literally, because they wouldn't have us. No. But I've had problems with that recently, namely the Aberdeen game, the semi-final and the Dundee game. Celtic are just about getting the job done. But I found myself kind of sitting back and thinking, do Celtic look like the team that generates tens and tens of millions and sells players for 25 million? Do we look like that on the pitch just now? And the answer is no. Now, no team, whether it's Bayern Munich, Juventus, Man City, any of these teams who have dominated for long periods of time over the last decade or so, no one gets it their own way the whole time. But watching these games, do we look like we've done all these things in recent years? The answer is no. So we need to sort that out. But that's a discussion for later. We are in the reality in which we sit just now. And Rangers do have to be taken seriously. Of course, Celtic are now going to be overwhelming favourites for it in terms of the bit. I've not checked the odds for it or anything like that, but I don't take them lightly at all, because I know Philip Clement has been talking erroneously recently about how it's still in their hands, that if they just win all their games, then nothing has changed. So he was saying that before the Ross County and Dundee results when they drop points.
Celtic are evens here, right, okay, and right. Rangers are anywhere between 2.5 to 3-1.
Right, okay. So, I mean, they are favourites, of course. But Philippe Clement's been saying the same thing about how it's still in their control. That's not really the case, because if Celtic win all their games, even if they beat Celtic and Celtic win the rest of the games, it will come down to goal difference. So it's not in Rangers' hands just now. But it's very clear that they absolutely have to win this game, or they're completely bust. Celtic are basically one hand on the title. We need 1 point after that if we beat Rangers, I think, pretty much.
Yeah.
So they're not to be taken lightly. There's been nothing really between the teams this season, as you say, and not even just in the derbies when you look at it, but this is the reason we have a league table.
Yeah.
The difference is 3 points. If you play it out over a load of different games over the course of a season, home and away against all the opponents, this is the best measuring stick we have to find out who the best team in the league is a league table. So there's not that much in it. But I think from what everything they've displayed recently, and Tavernier's at it again, basically kind of displaying the mentality that's got him into some serious unpopular water with Rangers fans yet again wanting him chased out the door despite his 100-odd goals for them.
He scored 15 penalties this season or something.
Is that right? And he's missed 5.
Yeah.
Which is quite remarkable. I mean, you think about the season Celtic have had when it comes to penalty takers. We change them every time somebody misses one. What's your cut-off for missing 5 in a season? And I know they're not in a row.
He's a captain. He gets to decide, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's his ball.
Bags
is the man. So Tavernier is displaying the kind of mentality monster mindset that got him into this position in the first place, just constantly apologising. Philippe Clement looks as if he's cracking up as well. But that said, they do have dangerous players. Tavernier, again, we mention him ahead of every single derby we play because he is clearly the danger man. Thaisen Maeda is going to be a key part of this once again. If he is to be shut down, don't give away any silly free kicks around the box. We will. We do it every single time. Yeah, we do it every single time. Well, that's where Fabio Silva's going to come in handy, isn't it?
They were cracking up at him.
Yeah, he's another one.
He was telling me, shut up.
That's right. That's so
he's
odd.
One fans,
he's going to be there. Like, even if he does something good between now and the end of the season, he's destined to become their like Ajo Berkovic or something like that. Probably a decent player in there somewhere, but everyone hates him.
Yeah, so, even his own fans.
So a very strange individual. I don't know what that was all about, giving it back to his own fans. Presumably they were raging at him or something like that at the game at the weekend. But that's dangerous though, because we saw him throwing himself about, did lead to the penalty, and there was one before that where he should have been booked and he maybe wouldn't have gone down for that Alistair Johnston penalty incident. But it's all dangerous. We can't take our eye off any of this stuff. And elsewhere, who are they likely to play up front? Dessers.
Mm-hmm. Is someone who came up with 20-odd goals this
season? Again, looks like an absolute diddy at times, but he has scored quite a lot of goals, and he did score that goal, which was pulled back for rightly, of course, for a foul at Ibrox. So, again, things to keep an eye on. This is about... we cannot take our eyes off the opponent at all. It'll be a very, very tight game and a very, very tough game. It's all about Celtic. See what they say, this stuff about coming to life at this stage of the season, and everything we've banked on for the last several weeks and months, even when we were going through the worst period of this season where we thought that this is going off the rails. So we started dropping points left and right with that terrible period leading up to Christmas where we started dropping points all over the place. What kept us sort of anchored there was this belief that Brendan Rodgers knows what this takes. He knows what it's all about. We've got guys there like James Forrest, fair enough, wasn't he in the squad or anywhere near it at that point, but we could call upon guys like that who know what it takes to win titles. Callum McGregor's another one. Even the likes of guys who have only been here a couple of years, they've won a treble now and they know what it takes at this club. So this is what we were all banking on. It's time to go out and prove it now, because all this stuff is all very well said and done, or all very well said rather, easier said than done. This guy knows what it takes. This guy's been there and done it before. It's not worth anything if you don't go out and prove it. If this is the time that Celtic are expected to come alive and become the club that Brendan Rodgers believes they all, well, fans as well, all believe they can be, is right in front of us this weekend.
There's no point shying away from the difficult games, Melly.
No.
You've got to keep the hail. You've got to have the hail kept.
Tap the sign.
But I think you've got to... There's one man you need to trust to get us through this tie, and it's been an absolute roller coaster for the guy for the minute he walked in. But if Brendan Rodgers goes out there and beats Rangers and brings this title home effectively by beating Rangers at Celtic Park after everything that's happened this season, after how crap we've been, after all the ups and downs, it's like, right, redemption. Yeah. There's a bit of redemption for the guy. Brendan Rodgers was just always destined to be the main character of this season, wasn't he? For the minute he walked in the door to almost the last kick of the ball, it's the Broad Show once again. We thought it wasn't. We all get distracted by other things going on. But come 12:30 on Saturday, take your seats for the Brendan Show, because it's either going to go absolutely spectacularly well or people are going to want his heed.
Yeah, and it's at that point where kind of all eyes are going to be on the dugout, dugout, because see how both handle it. Rodgers seems fine and now Clement looks rattled. But if Rangers go out and win, God forbid, then... we'll be looking back in that going, do you know what, maybe G'd them up and all that. Well, that's how Rangers will try and play it. So I think what Celtic need to do, and I think what Brendan Rodgers will do, is just look, expect the best Rangers possible, because we cannot go into this having any doubts, having any thoughts of they're cracking up, the Silva's fighting with Alex Reina. I don't really want to hear all this stuff. I just want Celtic...
That was proven not to be true.
Was it?
Yeah, that was another route. That's why I think there's a lot of nonsense getting put out there about internal infighting and players bust ups and all.
They're playing a lot of cards, though, aren't they? Because even if we look back to this have a bit of fun thing, they've massively overreacted to that, in my opinion. But that might be a case of they're Michael Jordan in this. They're basically just making up an enemy in their head and they're going for it absolutely full throttle.
There's too many fake stories about Rangers imploding and there's too many Celtic fans online going, oh, this is great, they're absolutely imploding. We're going to win 3-0. Yeah. Careful with that. It's a psyop.
Yeah, we just need to do our own job, don't we? I think the usual worry for me is, Celtic are going into it in the best possible way they can, but in these games, it's been the set pieces that have done us, and Rangers can still hurt us doing that, so Celtic need to be 100% at it. They need to be on their game, but a lot of that might not worry, because while you've got guys diving and winning penalties, you've also got a referee who gives penalties without seeing them. So we have to be on our game. We have to box smart, and we have to be very, very cute in this game as well, because we know it's going to be difficult and we don't want to be giving them any advantages. Handing them free kicks, being handed penalties in the last game that get them back into games, we cannot allow this to happen. some of it's out of our control, but Celtic can control what they can and just look after themselves. And look, this, it's got the potential for these players and the manager as well to be put up somewhere that they haven't been this season. This season it's all been, this team's not as good as Ange, and the board have been getting it, the players have been getting it. A lot of the players aren't good enough. Brendan Rodgers, is he as good this time around as he was before? All that can be silenced at the weekend, and it'll just be pure euphoria if Celtic managed to go 6 points ahead with two games to go. So it's in your hands, Celtic.
It's that's a good
thing. He does a cupping motion for the benefit of the audio.
For the benefit of the podcast, he does like a
highly questionable
squeeze in someone's testes. That's what you were doing there, Melly.
From that, the other film, Dead Man's Brogues.
Never seen that either. That's such an, is that a real film? No.
Dead Man's Shoes when he does that.
Jesus. Listen, on that bombshell, I don't think that can be topped, and I'm afraid to even return to the discussion, quite frankly. We have got a really special podcast video coming up later on in the week. Another look forward to Derby with some great content creators coming out. We will be at the game, and we might even have something special for you after the game, all on patreon.com, as well as some fantastic writing from Lewis. patreon.com/20minutetimes, link in every bio. Thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.